Hi everyone, this is Pastor Vincent here, and today I'm going to be doing part 4 of the series Know Yourself. I'd like to speak to you about what I've been learning that has been life-changing for me. And in this series, I want to give credit to Peter Scacero, who is the founder of the ministry Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, for the material that I'm using. You know, in our personal life, as I've spoken previously, that the picture of our own personal life is that of almost like what we would describe as being a kind of like an iceberg, where only 10% of the iceberg is visible and 90% is beneath the surface. And I have learned, and I must say I'm still learning, about the buried internal untransformed parts of my life that could be hindering the life that God has designed and purposed for my life. I want to read the scripture to you in the book of James chapter 1. Verse 2 to 4, and I want to read it from the Message Bible, where it says, "Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely, but let it do its work so you can become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way." One of the things on this series, one I've learned, is how does our soul respond to grief and loss? Because sometimes these are not the things that we want to experience, but they are very much the facts of life. And one of the things that I know, our culture often interprets losses, we interpret them as interruptions into our normal flow of normal lives. And we find the common response to that kind of thing is that we tend to numb our pain through denial, through blaming, through rationalization, through addictions, and through avoidance. And so we tend to search for spiritual shortcuts around our wounds. We want our pain to be taken away, and we want to not experience that in our emotions. But we do. And so we face many deaths in life, and deaths in the sense that it includes loss. And the choice is whether these deaths or loss will be terminal. Terminal in the sense that it can crush our spirit and life, or it what opens us up to new possibilities and depths of transformation that we can have in Christ as we journey through grief and loss. So when we think of loss, what comprises our loss? Well, we could lose our jobs, we lose our dreams, health, relationships, where things could happen where we lost someone that we love, or maybe a lost relationship in friendship or in marriage. We could lose our possessions, things that we've lost for whatever reasons that they may be. We could lose our position of power and influence and authority. We could even lose our lifestyle of routine and stability when we move through transitions in life. Or we could lose our loss could be something of expectations, things that didn't happen as we expected. Our loss could be made of illusions that became disillusions. The preconceived ideas of what we believed in people and what we believe in institutions. So we grieve the many things that we can't do, and we grieve the many things that we can't have. I want us to consider the story of Job. In the story of Job, in chapter 1 and chapter 2, we read that he lost everything in one day. In one day, he lost his family, his wealth, his health. You know, most of us experience losses more slowly over a span of a lifetime. But in his days, Job, who was well-known, wealthy, and influential, in one day, he lost everything. But you know, Job, as we know of his background, he was well-known, he was in verse 3 of chapter 1, it says that he was the greatest man among all the people of the East. And so we also read that Job was godly, he was faithful, and he was obedient to God. Because even in verse 1, we read that he was one who feared God and shunned evil. But you know, suddenly his life was invaded with tragedy and loss. And so as I said, in one day, the world's richest, most respected, and godly man was reduced to poverty, and his 10 children had been killed in a disaster. So how do we respond to grief and loss? You know, we tend to want to fill the gap of loss or we numb the pain that we're experiencing during that loss. And we could do it consciously or unconsciously by being busy, by watching TV and surfing the internet incessantly, indulging in overeating and drinking and substance abuse and pornography, and or perhaps loading activity upon activity in our calendar. Well, how did Job respond? You know, Job not only suffered what he lost, but his health was afflicted, and he suffered greatly. And he, further than that, he lost emotional support from his wife. But Job was innocent. He didn't deserve what he experienced, and life was unfair, as we would say. So where is the love and goodness of God to a faithful Job? But you know what we read? Amazingly, Job, in the midst of his physical, mental, emotional, and psychological suffering, he didn't sin or blame God or even lose faith in God. But he responded by continuing to worship God. Did he have questions? Yes, he did. Did he mourn? Yes, he did. Did he grieve and lament? Yes, he did. But there are some things that we could learn from Job. We could learn from Job the different phases of grieving that he went through, that we could learn to experience in our own lives in different measures. So the first thing that we learn is paying attention. And we see that Job does not ignore what he's going through. In fact, for the next 35 chapters, we read how he struggled with God. In fact, we read that he shouted at God, he wept, he at times he would speak of his doubts, and he would speak about when he wondered where God was during this all this time of suffering and calamity. And why did this all happen to him? And he told God exactly what he was feeling. And so we see that he confronted his loss directly. He didn't suppress how he was feeling, what he was feeling, nor did he dumb down what he was feeling. You know, when we do not process before God the very feelings that make us human, things like fear and sadness or anger, what happens is that I find that we eventually leak that into other areas of our behavior. For example, things like sarcastic or cynical remarks that we continuously make without realizing it. The nasty tone of voice that we use when speaking to people, or the passive-aggressive behaviors that we tend to express. And Job's misery must have taken months or even years in the process. But what we find is that he chose to confront it rather than to medicate himself and lock it up within him. There's a quote I want to give to you which says, "Process is not determined by desire, but requirement." The second phase that we read in Job's life is waiting in the confusion of the in-between space. You know, in today's culture, waiting is a huge difficult for most people. I know, I find it difficult to wait. We hate waiting. In fact, we even finish other people's sentences in conversation. We talk fast. We prefer to control the pace. We want quick solutions. We, in fact, in many things, we try to play God and we try to explain God as if we are God. And so in the story of Job, we find that Job had religious friends that tried to fix Job. They tried to fix him by concluding that he had sinned, that is why he's suffering. They quote many scriptures to him. And so instead of making Job feel better, they made him feel worse. And I think that is terrible, as we know what it feels like if it happened to us. Interesting a quote that I came across that helps us to think differently. It comes like this. He said, "We want things to happen at the speed of light instead of at the speed of a seed planted in the ground." And the next phase that we find Job understood, and we need to find that as well, is to embrace our limits. Embracing our limits is very important in our lives. You know, our human nature doesn't like to be told about limits. In fact, we find it debilitating when we talk about limits. But you know what I've discovered, and I'm continuing discovering, that recognizing and accepting limits actually humbles me before God. Because the limits that we face could be physical body, it could be our family of origin, it could be our marital status, it could be our intellectual capacity, it could be talents, gifting, and temperament. Because we're not good in everything. It could be material wealth. It could be time, because we can't do it all. It could be work and relationship realities, because we have those limits. Otherwise, we begin to demand what other people cannot give. And finally, it is also spiritual understanding. I believe we will never understand everything. We will always have that mystery which God holds to him. There's two scriptures that I want to share with you by John the Baptist. And in the book of John chapter 3, he says these things. He said, a person can receive only what is given them from heaven. And that is interesting to kind of contemplate about that. And then further, a few verses, he says, he, Christ, must increase, I must decrease. This is a time when he was faced with the fact that people were pointing out that Jesus had more disciples than he was. And he said, you know what, Christ must increase, I must decrease. So it's a hard lesson to learn that our wishes, which can be larger than what our real lives can actually support them. And so with that result, what we can have is that we work frantically till sometimes we experience burnout to try to do more than we actually can, being stressed, and eventually we blame others for the unfulfilled outcome without appreciating and accepting for the fact that, yes, we actually do have limits, and it's not such a bad thing to recognize. The next phase is what we call climbing the ladder of humility. Job chose to climb the ladder of humility. You know, after a great loss for a long time of waiting for something to happen to reverse what he was experiencing, we find that Job emerged from his suffering transformed. He was a broken, but he was also a transformed man through that brokenness. What is interesting, in Job chapter 42, we find that God speaks to him out of the storm of his life. When he thought that nothing could change, God comes out of that storm and he speaks new life to him. And we begin to sense that as God spoke to Job, that Job had a new intimacy and a new closeness to God because of what he experienced. And because he came through that, we find that Job did not take revenge on his accusatory friends. But instead, we find that Job instead prayed and blessed them. So we find that not only was Job spiritually transformed by what he went through, but we read in the scriptures that the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. We read that the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. We read that his wealth doubled and God gave him 10 children once again, and he lived till a ripe old age. And so we begin to see that during the different phases that Job went through in grieving of his loss, that the Lord, through what was broken in Job, that he experienced transformation. It was almost he experienced a resurrection from death into a new life. So as we begin to reflect upon what we've been talking about, maybe the question I would like to pose to you is, which would be more difficult to do? Paying attention to what you are feeling? Waiting in the confusion of the in-between space? Or embracing your limits as you begin to come to that realization? So as we conclude, I want us to respond to that message as we pray. Let's pray together. Lord, I want to ask you to reveal what is in my heart. Lord, I just want to pray that you would reveal what is hidden beneath the surface of my life. Help me in my life today so that transformation can take place in my life. Help me to allow to work in that space of confusion, of waiting. Help me, Lord, to learn to pay attention, but also, Lord, help me to climb that ladder of humility. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to connect with Jesus as your Lord and your Savior in a personal relationship and to experience his spiritual guidance in your life, I want to invite you to pray with me if you want to do that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, today I invite you into my life as my Lord and as my Savior. Please guide me as I begin to take my life and invite my life so that, God, that you become resident in my life. Lord, I pray that I acknowledge my need for you in my life. Help me through this journey. Help me to be transformed into the life that you have purposed and designed according to your word. Amen. As we come to take up the opportunity to give to God into God's house, I want to thank you for your continual and faithful giving to City Point Church. May God bless you for your faithful giving. There's a scripture in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11 and 12. And I just want to read just a portion in both verses. It says, "For everything in heaven and earth is yours." This is a prayer that David prayed. And further on in verse 12, he says, "Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things." You know, King David is saying in his prayer to God that everything belongs to God. So when he and his people gave to God for building the temple of God, to give God a really a permanent place, the way he saw it was that they were just moving God's finances from one place to the next for that purpose. Because David's perspective was that he is just a steward and he's not the owner of the finances that is in his hand. And I think this is so pivotal. When we view our possessions that way, it changes everything the way we see. You know, we can lose our grip on wealth, and wealth loses its grip on us. So with a mindset like that, that we can have, when we give, let's bring our giving with that perspective. And today, as we give, you can give via EFT, Snap, Scan, or PayFast. Let's give God thanks today. Lord, I want to thank you for the privilege to give to your house today. Help us to remember that you are the Lord over all. And as we give, we are giving as stewards to what you have put into our hands. And we pray, God, that you will continue to multiply what comes into your house. That, Lord, that we can use it to continue to serve and to help those through your word, that they can be reached and they can have their lives transformed because of the power of your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us serve and build God's kingdom as he designed. God bless and take care.